Hello, my name is Mike McNamara. Today we come to the end of our series in the Psalms we've been doing for the summer. The Psalms have reminded us of God's supreme status and character, the perfect King, the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the Word of God. And today, Psalm 71 and the title, Be My Rock. This is a more personal psalm. It may be a psalm of David. It certainly fits with his life experience, but we're not told that definitively. Whoever wrote it had experienced all that life can throw at you, and writing perhaps in their much later years of life, say of God, be my rock. The author had come to recognize and experience the faithfulness of God through all the changing scenes of life, and knows that there's only one place to build your life in this world, and that's to build it on the wonderful, supreme, ever-faithful, living God. And that's where the psalm begins, turning to God. Since his youth, the writer of this psalm has looked to God. You have been my hope, my confidence, since my youth, he writes. And the habit of a lifetime is not about to change. Far from it. In fact, he ramps up his total dependence on his Lord. He will rely on him to the end. Verse 1. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. The psalmist looks to God as his refuge and his rescuer. And do you notice how he appeals to God's character and doesn't rely on his own persuasive methods? He's basically saying in verse 2, you're a righteous and holy God and always have been. So please hear me, please help me, and please save me from a desperate plight. In many ways, that's what the Lord's Prayer allows us to say. It's the model that Jesus passed on to his people. And being mindful of God's character means we can pray with faith and with confidence. We ask for our daily bread in the Lord's Prayer and for the forgiveness of sin. But only after we've declared in prayer, our Father who is in heaven, honored be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Part of God honoring his name, demonstrating his righteousness, is to provide daily bread for his people and forgiveness of their sins. For the psalmist, this refuge and rescuer is so special, so important, so unique that he is prompted to declare in verse 3, be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. What a delightful way to describe God, isn't it? The rock to which I can always go. Is that your experience? Are you someone who is constantly going to God? Half the problems of many Christian people would be solved, and I include myself in this, would be solved if we went to God first, rather than trying to solve an issue on our own. Time and again in both the Old and New Testaments is the invitation to come to God. For example, Isaiah 55 and God's invitation, come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, give ear and come to me. The words of Jesus in Matthew 11, come to me all who are weary and burdened and I will give you rest. Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. By prayer and petition, present your requests to God. People often say of someone like a good electrician or builder or financial advisor, they're my go-to person. Well, let's be sure to make God our go-to person in 2022, our real go-to person. May he be the rock in our lives. Not only does it make sense because he is God and we're merely human, it also rings true in our own personal experience. Many of us could echo the words of verses 5 to 6. For you have been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From my birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. When I read this psalm in my quiet time last June, those words really spoke to me. They resonated with me. I felt as grateful as the psalmist. Some of you have had the great privilege of being raised in a Christian home. There wasn't a time in your lives when you weren't being prayed for or didn't know the love of Jesus for you. Others of us were drawn to God in our youth, perhaps on a beach mission, through school CU, starting at college or uni or at our workplace. To have experienced God's presence and faithfulness since those days is a very precious thing, isn't it? As the writer says, knowing God personally brought hope and confidence into his life. I imagine that's our experience too, whatever stage of life that we're in, when we came to Christ. He has brought us hope and confidence. And so we build our lives around Christ. We rely on him. We know he understands us and cares for us. Life without Jesus is unimaginable. Love that took him to the cross just for you and me. Once we discover God's love in Christ, there's only one thing to do: make him our rock, the center of our lives, and serve him as Lord. Turning to God makes ultimate sense. Second, God brings hope. Just occasionally, we put ourselves in the shoes of those who are suffering severely for their Christian faith. Shortly before Christmas, here at St. Alfred's, we heard of the plight of Christians in Myanmar at the current time. The situation there is desperate for God's people. There was also a recent atrocity in South Sudan, with over 20 Christians killed for their faith by Islamic extremists. Just a couple of weeks ago, in Pakistan, a completely innocent Christian man, Zafar Bhatti, was sentenced to death for allegedly making blasphemous texts on his mobile. This was in spite of the glaring fact that the mobile in question never belonged to him. In spite of that, after many years languishing in prison, he was sentenced to death. But there is a common thread in each of these situations. It's the extraordinary fact that the Christian believers in these countries don't run away from their faith in God. They run towards him in Myanmar, in South Sudan, and Pakistan. They know God is real. They are unashamed to be his people, and in spite of all the terrible challenges that they're facing, the risen, ascended, living Lord brings hope in even the darkest situations. The writer of Psalm 71 trod this road before them. In verse 7, he says of himself, "I became a sign to many." He meant a bad sign. A portent, a solemn warning that basically declared, if you follow the God of Israel with all your heart, bad things will happen to you. Watch out. You see, the writer was taunted by his enemies, verse 11. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. We read a bit further on that some even lie in wait, conspiring to kill him, just as our brothers and sisters are facing today in some parts of the world. So did the writer turn away from God in the face of the taunts and the threats? No. In fact, quite the opposite. They can say what they like and plot against him because his response is, you are my strong refuge, verse 7. The writer knew that when you have the living God in your life, you have hope. So right in the midst of all the real challenges to his life and to his reputation, this man praises God. Verse 8, my mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Would that be our reaction? Praise for persecution? It was certainly his. And of course, I'm reminded of the apostles in Acts chapter 5. They were all arrested for proclaiming Jesus as Lord, in spite of strict orders not to preach in Jesus' name. They faced the court of the Sanhedrin and were all flogged, beaten for their willingness to stand for Christ and proclaim him. Their response? The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Acts 5, verse 41. Would we respond like that? With rejoicing and a sense of privilege? It's a challenging thought, isn't it? The psalmist quite rightly asked for God's help in his very difficult situation, saying at various times, do not cast me away. Do not forsake me. Do not be far from me. Come quickly, God, to help me. And from a lifetime of knowing and serving God, the psalmist knew, as we know, that God never abandons his people. As Jesus promised before his ascension, behold, I am with you always until the very end of the age. Such a faithful God prompts the psalmist to say in verse 14, as for me, I shall always have hope. I will praise you more and more. You see, God brings hope. And then third and finally, God brings purpose. Our writer discovered real hope in God and his youth, as we've already learned, and as he repeats in verse 17, since my youth, you have taught me. Well, the writer is long past his youth by now, and as we all should do, he has his eye on the next generation. He wants them to share the hope and the faith that he has. Verse 18, even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. At St. Alfred's and St. Luke's, we are looking to pass on the good news of Jesus to the next generation through Stacks, Lighthouse, Holiday Clubs, GFS, Boys Own and Pulse. These are vital ministries as the baton of the gospel is passed on to the next generation. Have you ever considered volunteering for any of those groups? It's an extra commitment, I admit, but it's so fulfilling and rewarding. Contact the office if you want to find out more. The psalmist had a deep desire to share his faith with younger people and to help them discover God's love and purpose. In the New Testament, we see Paul investing in people like Timothy, Titus, and Silas, training up the next generation. Paul writes to Timothy, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you." Paul is passing it on to the next generation. It's probably fair to say that as you look back on your life, you know those people who invested in you spiritually, who prayed for you, who taught you the gospel and equipped you to be a servant of the Lord Jesus. If you're anything like Paul the Apostle, you're not going to stop investing in others yourself while you still can. In the children, in the youth, with nieces and nephews, godchildren, children and grandchildren. As I close, the psalmist made God the rock of his life. He'd faced some tough times and half expected more to come. But verses 20 to 21 tell us that in the midst of all this, the writer knew that his God is the one who restores, who raises us up, who brings honor to his people and comforts them. That's why he says of his God, "I will praise you for your faithfulness." Verse 22. So in 2022, let's be the people who turn to God, who know that with God as our rock, we have hope and we have purpose as we share our faith with the next generation. For as the writer himself says in verse 19, "Who is like you, God?" Ours is the God without equal. Amen.